Don't Move a Muscle, the podcast has started.
Hello and welcome to Podtrivagus Totalis, a Harry Potter read-along podcast. Your hosts for this podcast are me, Cassie.
And me, Joe.
And this week we are going to be reading Chapter 3 of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, The Letters from No One. Our first two episodes went up last Monday and the Monday before that, and we are officially on streaming services now. It took a little while for us to get approved on all of them, because apparently it takes like 4 days to process on these things. But you can officially subscribe to us on all of the great podcast apps and things out there, and we have some cool subscribe buttons that I made on our website, so go do that.
How cool is a subscribe button?
They're pretty nifty, especially if you're using an Android device.
Because that's the only thing you've tested it on.
Well, no, that's not true. I've tested it on a computer, and it will launch iTunes for you and like bring you right to the page that you can subscribe on. Okay. Or you can just use the RSS feed if you're using a different podcast program. But if you're using a different podcast program on the computer, you know how to subscribe to podcasts. But if you're on Android, it takes you to this website, subscribe on Android, and it says like, oh, let's see if you have a podcast app installed, and if you do, we'll just launch it straight in there, and if you don't, hey, maybe consider a couple of these apps.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Thank you for checking the website and using these buttons.
You're welcome.
Are you subscribed to our podcast?
Yeah, but I just went on my app.
Okay. Yeah, you can also search it on your app. All right, so we will go straight into our chapter discussion of Chapter 3, The Letters from No One, and this week it's Joe's turn to do the summary.
So we start the chapter with Harry getting out of his punishment after like a month, and Dudley has broken all his toys already. Harry gets a letter in the mail, and before he gets to read it, Vernon takes it away. It scares him and Petunia. They upgrade him to a new room because the letter was addressed specifically to the cupboard under the stairs. The next morning, he gets another letter, and that one's addressed to the smallest room.
I don't think they upgraded him so much because the letter was addressed to the cupboard under the stairs, but they're starting to be afraid of Harry in a way, I think.
Well,
I guess, though, they think like, oh, my God, people know that we're keeping this kid locked in a cupboard under the stairs.
Maybe. And it may have also just been like to test how
that's true,
like how diligent they are in their spying.
That's a good point.
But either way, after that, he's not sent back to the cupboard. So they've just left him there. They end up getting a lot more letters. Harry tries to sneak down the stairs and accidentally steps on Uncle Vernon. When he's trying to get, sneak out early and get the letters.
Yeah, Vernon plants himself in front of the door and, like, sleeps there in a sleeping bag to stop Harry.
Vernon ends up nailing up the mailbox, or the mail slot, which doesn't work, and then all the cracks in the doors, and that doesn't work either. Mm-hmm. And finally it comes to Sunday, and he's nice and relaxed, because no post on Sunday.
Yep, but, that famous line.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote it down. It's no post on Sundays, no damn letters today.
Ooh, getting a little racy. Yeah, so the letters just keep coming and Vernon is not having it.
No. So he goes crazy, rips off half his mustache, and they get in a car and drive for hours, turn around every once in a while, and he says, shake him off.
Yeah.
They go to a hotel, and the next morning, the owner of the hotel comes over and says, I've got 100 letters addressed to you. Then they drive for a while and find they come to a coast, get in a rowboat from a nice toothless old man.
Yep.
And go to a shack on a small island during a storm.
To just hide from the letters.
Just to hide. They enjoy a nice large helping of bag of potato chips and single banana a piece. And then Harry counts down to his birthday, looking at Dudley's watch. And at midnight exactly, he gets a nice knock on the door. And that's how the chapter ends.
That is how the chapter ends. So the mystery, of course, is who knocked on the door and who these letters are from. Both of which we know the answers too, because we've read this podcast, we've read this book before, but we'll limit the podcast to this chapter. So chapter three comes off of the huge bummer of chapter two, which we talked about last week.
Yeah, this isn't much happier. Harry's not feeling better right now.
No, he's been locked in the cupboard for a month and information is being withheld from him, but at least he's out of the cupboard.
Yes, out of the cupboard, got a new room, although he does say that he would rather be in his cupboard with the letter than
in
his room
bedroom
without anything.
That always frustrated me as a child, because I don't remember exactly how it's phrased in the book as far as like the layout of the Dursleys' house and how Harry travels to get back to the kitchen with the mail, but in the movie, Harry leaves the kitchen, walks down the hall past his cupboard to the door, gets the mail from the door, walks back into the kitchen, passing his cupboard. And I always just like had that thought in my head of like, just shove the letter into the cupboard and like open it later. Like, you could save so much trouble if he just had put the letter in the cupboard. And
yeah, but how could you have foreseen that going so poorly?
I understand.
Like,
that
this was his first letter ever. Who's to say that his uncle is going to take it from him and throw him out of the kitchen?
Yeah, which I also very, very strongly related to Harry being like psyched to get mail, which I understand is because he's never received mail, but I was and still am psyched to get mail anytime that isn't like junk mail or bills. Mm-hmm. Like as a child, I always wanted to get like a letter from someone in the mail, but I don't think I have ever received a letter from someone.
I get birthday cards, so.
Well, yeah, like birthday cards, that stuff. That's one thing. But, like, I always wanted a letter, like a handwritten letter from someone. We were born on kind of like the cusp of the email thing, so letters aren't really
useful anymore.
But they're nice to get them. So Harry's psyched to get mail. You left out of your summary, understandably, one of my favorite details from this chapter, which is that they're preparing. It's the middle of the summer, so they're preparing to go back to school. And Dudley has been accepted into private school.
Yes,
called
Smeltings.
Yes, Smeltings. And Harry is going to Stonewall High. So Dudley kind of prances around in his Smeltings uniform for a little while.
And he's got a smelting stick.
Yeah, which when Vernon confiscates the letter and Harry and Dudley complain because Harry wants to know what it says and Dudley wants to know what it says because he's a nosy little...
He's nosy.
Yes. he's a bad kid. He hits Vernon with the letter on top of the head. With the stick. I'm sorry. He hits Vernon with his smelting stick.
Yeah.
Which is so evil.
And he does that several times throughout the chapter.
Yeah. He demands to read the... It's crazy that this kid is, like, allowed to be this way. Mm-hmm.
The first time the mail comes in, Harry's letter comes in... they hear the click of the mail slot. Uncle Vernon says, "Get the mail, Dudley. Make Harry get it. Get the mail, Harry. Make Dudley get it. Poke him with your smelting stick, Dudley."
Yeah, so Vernon definitely encourages the use of the smelting stick, but he probably didn't intend it to be used against him.
Yeah, he didn't foresee having to go against Dudley's wishes anytime soon. And then the letter came.
Yeah. But on the note of Stonewall High, Dudley says to Harry, "They stuff people's heads down the toilet the first day at Stonewall," and continues, "Want to come upstairs and practice?" And Harry replies, "No thanks. The poor toilet's never had anything as horrible as your head down it. It might be sick."
And then he runs away before Dudley figures out what's happening.
Yeah, that was the first of many sick Harry burns that we'll see throughout the series.
Yes.
Which I think is lost in translation from the movies to the from the books to the movies, kind of what a sarcastic jerk Harry is sometimes.
Yeah, they made him a little more
likable.
Likable.
I like his little comments.
I definitely
funny.
I definitely like Harry's character as in the book, but it's just
it's different.
More. It's definitely different.
Yeah, but that I thought that was really funny.
That is a great line.
Yeah, Petunia calls Dudley "Ickle Dudleykins." Not quite as good as, what was it last week?
Dinky Duddy Dums.
Yeah, Dinky Diddy Duddy Dums or something crazy like that. So Ickle Dudleykins is still pretty good, but it's second so far in our list of Dudley nicknames.
Yeah. So it's mentioned that school's over, but Harry can't escape Dudley's gang. Because they start coming to his house. And it's mentioned that they're all big and stupid, but Dudley's the biggest and stupidest of the lot.
Which makes him the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dudley is just an evil, evil little kid. He really is terrible.
Yes, he is. And then on the note of Dudley's Smelting's uniform, Harry gets a nice new uniform as well.
Yeah, Petunia, like, cooks Dudley's old clothes to make them gray. She dyes them in the sink or something.
In a big pot.
Yeah, and she's like, don't worry, you'll look the same as everybody else.
Very likely.
Yeah. Are school uniforms common in England? I don't know if you would know that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, just it was weird to me that Harry would have to wear a school uniform going to public school. Like, I understand that for private schools, but
I mean, if he can wear baggy gray clothes, I don't know how strict this is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but just like a general, you have to wear gray or something weird like that.
Yeah, I don't know if they can enforce school uniforms in public schools. I remember in the school district that we went to, I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to be stalked, but in the school district that we went to, they did discuss doing school uniforms at some point. I think as in middle school at the time, you might have been in elementary school, but they talked about doing uniforms, and then it came out that they would not be able to enforce it because it's a public school and they can't do that, I guess, legally. And so it fell apart after that because who's going to voluntarily wear a school uniform?
Oh, nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they bring the letter into the kitchen, they mention Aunt Marge again, who Aunt Marge appears later on in the series, but they've mentioned her a couple times at this point. Vernon says that she's ill because she ate a funny whelk. I never knew what a whelk was. I looked it up for this read-through.
Isn't it like a clamish thing?
It's a snail, apparently.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah, seafood. Fun little trivia. But then when they do bring in the letter, it says that Vernon's face goes from red to green faster than a set of traffic lights. That frustrated me a little bit.
Yeah, what happened to yellow?
Well, no, you don't go red, yellow, green.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like, traffic lights don't change from red to green very quickly in
my experience.
I mean,
when it does change, it changes right away.
Sure, like, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just taking issues with all these like little similes and metaphors that she's using.
Oh, did Dudley not own gray clothes?
Oh, so like Petunia has to dye them because they're, I don't know. I'm guessing
maybe
just
it was
so
just
like
so
they're
enough.
All the same color of gray. It really is just like another way to torture Harry, I think. Yeah. It's not,
especially
I don't know.
The smell that they're emitting as she's cooking them lingers.
Yeah, yeah. I think they compare them to elephant skin as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Harry pictures himself wearing crude looking oversized clothes that look like elephant skin.
Yeah. Harry's life sucks. So when Vernon takes the letter away, Dudley and Harry are understandably upset. Harry more so. Harry, it's more understandable for Harry than Dudley, but
it's not that surprising that Dudley's
upset. So Dudley has a series of fits to complain about not being able to read the letter, and it says that he was sick on purpose.
Yeah, he made himself throw up.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy, like going that far. I mean, Dudley is the worst, but geez.
Yeah,
to make yourself throw up.
Well, if the usual crying and tantrums don't work, you gotta try something else.
I mean, I've definitely faked out my mom to not have to go to school my share of times, but I've never made myself throw up on purpose because it's so unpleasant. It's like punishing yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
He also throws his tortoise through the greenhouse roof.
Wow.
Yeah. He's terrible.
Poor tortoise, but also,
right?
They have a greenhouse?
I remember in the movies, you see it in Prisoner of Azkaban, because that is, I think, the only time we really see the backyard of the Dursley home, but they do have a little, like, covered porch. I don't know, maybe in England they use the word greenhouse for a covered porch. It doesn't look like a greenhouse, like one that you would grow plants in, but it does kind of have, like, a greenhousey kind of look to it.
Okay.
I think it's just like a porch or something.
I mean, it could be a greenhouse.
I don't think the Dursleys have a greenhouse.
Yeah, that surprised me. Like, what are they growing in there that any of them would eat? Maybe Petunia.
I don't know. I don't know if it's that they eat unhealthy or just like eat a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's definitely partly genetic. Yeah, because Harry is, you know, pretty thin. I guess they starve him. Though, so that's part of it. But Petunia is thin too, so like they genetically, the Evans side of the family, right? That was their maiden name. Petunia and Lily.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Evans side of the family might just have that like fast metabolism thing going for them. And Vernon is just a disaster. But no, I always just assume that they didn't necessarily eat poorly. Maybe Dudley, just because they indulge him on like sweets and everything, but just that they eat a lot because they're just gluttonous, horrible people. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know that much about the Dursleys' eating habits. When Vernon's going crazy, it says that he hummed tiptoe through the tulips as he worked and jumped at small noises. That just makes me laugh every time I read it. It's a funny line.
Yeah, it is. And just like picturing this man going crazy slowly, just
yeah, and like drilling the door closed.
Taking off work, which I'm sure he had never done before.
Yeah, yeah. And they say that the mailman like delivers eggs through the kitchen milkman, window. Yeah, it's crazy. The mailman delivers the eggs. Yeah. Yeah, like how do they even ask him to do that? Like, come to the window.
Well, I guess you just open the window and say, yeah, just stick it in this way.
Yeah, and the letters are in the eggs as well, which I thought was a nice little touch to just freak everybody out even more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody loses out on breakfast.
Yeah. No eggs today. So the letters explode out of the fireplace and every possible crevice. And that prompts the Dursleys to leave the house, as Joe said.
Yeah, it was weird to hear that they had the fireplace in their kitchen, though.
Oh, did they? That is kind of strange.
Well, just like they're eating in their kitchen and
oh, okay.
The fireplace erupts and he's able to just throw them out of the room and close the door.
Oh, I don't know. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we have a small apartment, so our fireplace is basically in our kitchen.
Also, we have a wood stove and not a fireplace.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's
a place for fire.
I mean, in older homes, it was common to have fireplaces in a lot of different rooms because that was how they kept warm, you know, before they had like heating systems, like baseboard heating and everything. Mm-hmm. But the kitchen, you would have the stove. That was generally how they kept warm. Like my mom's house, we would always keep warm by turning on the stove, which is maybe not a great use of gas, but that was the way we warmed the house. Yeah, but you know, that is weird to have a fireplace in the kitchen. Okay, so the letters explode out of everywhere, and Vernon just loses his mind and takes them out to go stay elsewhere. And Dudley has just a very bad, no good day.
Yes.
It's like the worst time of Dudley's life. They're not stopping to eat. They're staying in bad hotels that don't have TVs.
Yeah, he's missing several TV shows.
Yes, one of them specifically is called The Great Humberto? Humberto?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's what it's called. I wanted to know if it was a real thing, so I looked it up on the Harry Potter wiki. It's not a real thing, but it made me laugh, their little description. They speculate that it's related to the circus, but say, and I quote directly, "the explicit details are yet to be revealed."
Yet to be revealed. We're waiting. Yeah. We're on the edge of our seats waiting for...
That's really important.
Umberto.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, though, because The Great Umberto, that sounds to me like a magician, like a performing circus magician.
Yeah, maybe.
Reminded me of Contrast, actually, which is a really good game on the PS4 and I think the PC as well, The Great Vincenzo. Do you remember that game? I made you play it.
Was that the shadow thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It reminds me of, like, magicians, so I think it's cool that they're kind of putting that, like, magic thing in the chapter, albeit in kind of a hidden way.
Yeah, and maybe it's something completely different, but that's a...
Sure, but it probably is a magician.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can really think of. You would start with The Great and then a name.
Yeah, yep. So they hop from bad hotel to bad hotel to the shack eventually. The shack...
Sounds like they only stop at one hotel.
Oh, okay. I don't know the exact timeline.
Once they leave the house, his trip to Crazy Town goes pretty quickly.
I think he was already firmly in Crazy Town before they left the house.
Yes, but it escalates drastically.
Yes, definitely. So when they get to the shack, the despair of chapter 2, I think, returns. It says, "Harry was left to find the softest bit of floor he could and to curl up under the thinnest, most ragged blankets."
Yes, they find a nice set of moldy blankets.
That was so, like, Oliver Twist sad to me. It's just, it is horrible.
And like they show that none of the other Dursleys are enjoying it, like they all have a moldy blanket, but Harry's got the worst one.
Yeah, and he's on the floor. Yeah. Like Dudley at least gets to sleep on the couch. It sucks, though. Just poor, poor Harry. Harry's under the blanket, and then a mysterious knock on the door comes exactly at midnight.
Yeah, he counts down. He starts thinking the island is falling apart, that the roof is coming off. And, like, it's a bad storm, and it's a really old...
gross shack.
Yeah. So it's it's kind of believable.
Yeah, I like that he thinks, too, like, well, if the roof comes down, maybe it'll keep me a little bit warmer. It's so horrible.
Yeah, it's so cold in that place that, oh, yeah, maybe being out in the rain is better. 1 minute to go and he'd be 11. 30 seconds. 20. 10. 9. Maybe he'd wake up Dudley just to annoy him. Those are his last thoughts before his birthday. 3, 2, 1, boom.
And that's how the chapter ends.
Well, they say it's a knock, but...
okay, well...
yeah.
Shut up. That reminds me, actually, of... I'm an English education student. We're both education students, but... or we go to college to be teachers. We want to be teachers. But I want to be an English teacher. And one thing that we talk about a lot are read-alouds, either having, like, students read aloud or doing teacher read-alouds. And I remember when one of my professors was teaching us the art of the read-aloud and how to, like, really get students engrossed in it. She was reading a passage from some book. I don't know what it was. But in it, there was, like, a knock on the door, I think. And she, like, knocked on the table, and we were all, like, super into her reading. We were all just, like, sitting there, like, really into the moment. It was a really intense piece, and then she just, like, knocks on the table. I'm like, man. So I thought about, you know, like, reading this to kids. I'm like, you should definitely knock on something.
That's not that exciting, but
it was. You, I guess, you had to be there.
Yes, that is definitely. You can't just say, "Oh, she was reading that book really well," and then she knocked on a table.
Well, okay, but like, imagine like reading this to a kid, like 10, 9, and like counting down, then just.
Well, it starts with one big boom.
Okay. All right. Okay. Enough. The chapter's over.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, so not too much happens in this chapter. Like, there's no really big development besides Vernon going crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It is another Vernon-centric chapter.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, they're still building the world and getting us into the exciting stuff. And the exciting stuff kind of starts next chapter. Not to say it's a bad chapter, but it's just like, all right, we're just get us to the good stuff. So that's the end of that chapter. We have received an email from one of our listeners. You can send us emails to owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com. That's owlpost@podtrificustotalus.com. Or you can just go to our website and there's a little form you can fill out that emails us the same way. But we received an email from our friend PK.
Yeah, our very first email. We're very excited about it.
Yeah, we are really happy. So I'll read it. Hey guys, I am PK, simplified for pronunciation, from India. I have found out about your podcast on Reddit. I post on Reddit a lot. He found out about the podcast on Reddit. I have seen all the Harry Potter movies and I love them. Great. We love Harry Potter too.
Yeah.
He says, I've been trying to read the books for a long time, but somehow I couldn't do it. One fine evening, I found your podcast and I listened to it, and seeing your love and enthusiasm pushed me to start reading the book. I think that's awesome. This makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah, I hope you're reading along with us.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd understand if you want to jump ahead of us a little bit.
Because one chapter a week is a little slow, especially if you don't know exactly like what happens. Because even if you've seen the movies, I think you can definitely get engrossed in the books. And Joe can attest to that.
Absolutely.
So I definitely understand if you get ahead of us. He says, I really like Cassie's voice. Thank you. And that she is always laughing. Do I laugh a lot?
Yes.
Okay. Please keep it this way. I'll try. Also, you guys are doing a great job at not revealing too much.
Hopefully we continue doing that.
A lot of editing goes into these podcasts.
Yes, we take out plenty of stuff we say, oh, we said a little too much, but...
Yeah. Coming to suggestions, first episode was 48 minutes long, and I think it's too long for a single chapter. Second episode is 30 minutes long, and it's the ideal length. I agree with that. I think our first episode was just a little bit longer because we want to establish who we were and what the podcast is, but in the future, we're aiming for that, like, 30-minute mark, I think.
Yeah, if not, just a little bit less.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. If it's, like, a really meaty chapter, then we might take a little bit longer. If it's kind of a... whatever chapter, then, you know, a little less. But around 30 minutes, I think, is our goal. Also, I believe there's no need to type up the episodes. Okay. It's a lot of trouble for me to do that. I don't know if I will continue to do that, but I like the idea of it being a little more accessible, and also searching is easier if you have, like, a transcript. You know, like, if you wanted to come back to something that you said before. Whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. In my opinion, it's better if you post your new episodes on Friday or Saturday so that we can listen to it as soon as it is released on weekends. Mondays are usually busy for a lot of people. That's fine. I mean, the nice thing about podcasts is you can listen to them whenever you want.
Yeah, we started on Monday because that was the anniversary of the book, the first book being released.
Yes.
There's a good chance we'll gradually make it to Friday as we have poor scheduling and... you know,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it was just like incidental that the 20th anniversary of Philosopher's Stone being released was on a Monday, so we tried to stick to the weekly Monday schedule, and hopefully we'll do that in the future, but maybe we will push it to Friday or Saturday as necessary. And he suggests it would be cool if at the start of each episode you talk about a spell, not necessarily from that chapter, and explain it. I like that idea. I think we should start doing that.
We could have done it this chapter.
Well, the email came in this chapter, and I didn't feel like research. We'll start next episode.
You promise?
I promise.
Okay.
Yes, I promise to follow that suggestion from PK. Finally, the podcast is awesome, and I have fun listening to it. Good job, guys. Thanks for making this podcast. I hope you will complete the series, and I wish you all the best. That is awesome. We wish him the best, too.
Yes, thank you so much for writing to us. And with what happens in the next chapter, we're not going to get into it. It will be much more appropriate for us to start talking about spells.
Yes. Yeah, it is difficult right now, too, because the magic hasn't really happened yet, aside from the magic of this podcast.
Okay, you can leave that
in there. It's staying. But this is awesome. This is exactly why we want to do this podcast, too. Not just for fans of the Harry Potter series that like listening to other people talk about the Harry Potter series and maybe learn some cool trivia and interpretations, but also just the people that have read some of the books or that have seen the movies and have thought about reading the books. We really think that there's a lot for everybody in this podcast, and that's I love the idea of helping people like start reading. Or not helping them start reading, but kind of inspiring them to finally like sit down and pick up a book. Because reading can be hard, especially, you know, like all the things that people have going on in their lives. It's hard to sit down and find time to like read a book.
Yes, definitely. And like that's why audiobooks are so popular. You can do whatever else. And now this is not quite an audio.
And you can listen to two dummies talking about them, too.
Maybe three if we get any guests.
Well, right now our equipment doesn't support a third person, but...
That means we only have two microphones.
Well, we actually have three microphones, but our audio interface only has two hookups.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we can always upgrade. But also, we would need to find another person to talk to other than each other. Yeah, we'll see if we do guests in the future. It's just like for right now, it's just us.
Yeah, it might take some time.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's clamoring to have guests.
We haven't had any requests yet.
Yeah, so send us your requests for guests. JK Rowling.
Like, yeah.
Emma Watson.
Don't request people, just request to join us.
Yeah, I mean, we record this in our small extra bedroom, and I don't foresee getting like cramming anybody else in here to talk about Harry Potter with us.
Maybe like over Skype or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be easiest. We're kind of in the boonies.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, come out to the boonies and come record an episode about Harry Potter with us. No, Skype is a little more practical, and I could definitely set it up that we would be recording on Skype. So that's a possibility.
And that also fixes our sound problem.
Our sound problem?
Not having enough
Yes.
Ports or whatever.
Yeah, so it's something to look forward to in the future. But really, thank you so much for this email. We're so pumped to get our first email. And we encourage PK to write to us in the future. And anybody else, if you have any particular experiences with the series that you want to share or any feedback on the podcast.
Or definitely corrections. Want... I'm yes. sure we'll make plenty yeah. mistakes.
We haven't gotten to like the really meaty magic chapters yet, but once we do, I'm sure that we're going to be messing up about like the rules of magic and the wizarding world.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, you can send emails to owlpost@podtrificustotalis.com. You can reach us on social media. We have a Twitter account @podtrificus, a Facebook page. If you just search Podtrificus Totalis, you'll get to it, and a Tumblr page, which actually I haven't updated with the second episode, so I should probably do that. So we have Twitter,
well,
Facebook,
and
Tumblr.
By the time this will be released, it'll be up.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We don't need to include that.
You can follow us on all those things, and our website has links to everything as well. And our website is podtrificustotalis.com, where you can find the episodes, of course, transcripts if we typed them up for that episode, and just some information about each episode, like what we talked about. And everything on it.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can join us next time for Chapter 4,
The Keeper of the Keys.